Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake. Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go so that you can make the sound we broadcast as loud as possible.
Leftover Army Monsters, Giant Podcast, All Out Attack.
Hosted by Dan Heppner.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Co-hosted by Eric Marable.
George, help! There's a monster here!
And Amanda Albers.
I've never seen Godzilla this close before.
Featuring Tierra Gibson.
Ah! After 10,000 years, I'm free! It's time to conquer Earth!
The Ultraman franchise is, without a doubt, the longest-running series in human history, spanning across all forms of media. Since the airing of Ultra Q in January 1966, these giants have enjoyed an unrivaled reign across television, movies, animation, shorts, video games, comic books, and more. The legacy of the beings from the Land of Light is one that will live on in the cultural zeitgeist probably forever. But of course, with this many different pieces to the Ultra puzzle, there is too much for Japan alone to have created. After the end of the Showa era in 1980 with, well, Ultraman 80, the mega franchise went on a hiatus from creating new TV series for over a decade. There were still a few movies that were made, but what kept it going, really, was foreign nations taking a crack at the beloved heroes. There was an animated series as well as another series done by America in the late 80s and mid-90s. However, probably the biggest Ultra venture taken during this period, with the show, tie-in toys, and even a video game, came from the island continent of Australia. Tonight, we are discussing Ultraman Towards the Future, aka Ultraman Great, from 1990. Starring Dora Kraus, Ralph Cotterill, Gia Caridis, Lloyd Morris, Rick Adams III, and Grace Parr. With David Grabowski, Peter Raymond Powell, and John Bonney. Featuring Steve Apps and Robert Simper as Ultraman Great, and Michael Reed and Johnny Halliday as the Kaiju. Written by Terry Larson and directed by Andrew Prowse. I'm your not-so-great host, Dan Heppner. And with me, as always, we have the imaginary flying monster that is just allowed to take a young child off to God knows where, Matt Albers. And joining us tonight, we have, as usual, the living space virus who wants to dominate all life herself. It's Tierra Gibson.
You're damn straight. You guys aren't doing it right.
We will all be one with the goodest one day. Oh, boy.
You said it.
Look, there have been a few times where I have apologized for something, and this...
Are you apologizing for this one?
I might. We'll see where we get at the end of this episode. We'll see where we're at. But it's not off the table.
Okay.
It's just...
He's just waiting to see what we're going to say.
I'm waiting to hear what you're going to say. Amanda. I'm very well aware of Tierra's opinion and mine, so where to fucking even begin? I guess, all right, for the sake of it, have either of you two ever seen anything from this series before?
No.
I have seen this Ultraman in other Ultraman movies.
In a movie, in Ultra form,
but that is it.
Amanda, you have too, actually.
Yes.
Is he ultra porn?
No.
Okay. Oh, hey, Eric.
No, but he was pulling that up while we were watching the movie that he put a camera in, which is Mega
Monster. Yes, that one. The one we watched in a hotel room.
Yeah, that one. One of our favorite go-to ones. It's so crazy. He's just one of the many Ultras that they do have a couple seconds, focusing on him when Belial, the bad guy from the movie, shows up on their planet and just wrecks everybody's shit. He's one of the many who gets his ass kicked.
Yeah, I haven't heard you bring his name up a lot, so I figured he probably wasn't a main one in the movie. He was just support.
Yeah, he was just a happenstance, one of the crowd that gets the shit kicked in. Speaking of kicking in shit, let's get to this. So, There's not, I'll tell you, there's not a lot of real backstory stuff that I can really find with this in terms of like the production of it. Here's what Wikipedia has, because I'll tell you, Ultra Wiki has nothing on the production of this, which is easy to me.
Oh, wow.
So a little bit of context. Principal photography lasted 4 months. The writer of all the episodes provided environmental and ecological themes for the show, of course. Unlike previous installments, and this should be obvious, spandex was used for Ultraman instead of a rubber suit. Mm-hmm. Directors say the decision to employ spandex instead was so the actor could move in it better and reduce the risk of heat exhaustion. However, one of the suit actors still passed out one day.
I mean, are you a suit actor if you don't?
I mean, this is very true. Music is composed by Shinsuke Kazato. I will tell you, I think it's one of the few, at no point, bad parts, really, about this. At least with the main theme, but I don't know. I'll tell you actually a little bit of personal backstory. I had several of the toys from this series, and best friend and twice guest on the show, Chris Champlin, he had the Super Nintendo video game.
Huh. And was the game better than the show?
No. No, not really. It's really kind of shitty. Whoa. It works a lot in the same way that the Super Nintendo game Super Godzilla played, where like when you're fighting the monster, it's not really like a, like, it's not like you would think like Street Fighter. No, it's some weird, stupid like tug of war push pull with like, it's not good. I'll tell you that. It's not good. It doesn't make very much sense, and it's kind of stupid. Kind of like this show, really. So let's really get into this. What was everybody's expectations going in and thoughts coming out? Amanda.
I knew you had warned me that this was going to be taking place in a different area. I still had to double check when I first started the episode, because I was like, I kind of forgot, and I looked and I was like, no, I'm pretty sure you said something about Australia. I'm pretty positive. And I was like, I think this is it. And I was like, it's 13 episodes. This is a show. Just keep watching it, Amanda. And if it's the wrong one, Dan will just like shoot you through Skype when we record. So,
but hey, maybe I can. You'll never know.
True. But yeah, I was expecting, of course, an Ultraman and kind of the same shtick and gimmick from the ones that we have watched previous. Yeah, you have a group of people, but it's not the same. They're not like the Space Force type folks.
I mean, they kind of are. Like,
they kind of are, but it's different.
Tropes, yeah, the tropes are all still there, just at lesser quality, let's say.
Different quality, for sure. And they didn't seem to really get into as much of the, like, as heavy as the previous ones as Ultraman's, like, backstory or why that person was chosen. Because I feel like the other ones focused a little bit more in the beginning, but I could be wrong.
No, you're right. I mean, there's usually a lot more. And, you know, part of that might be because this one's only 13 episodes as opposed to, like, 50 in most cases and so forth.
Yeah.
But at the same time, but you didn't watch all the episodes from each show, so you don't get the full gamut That's of all true. That stuff and whatnot. But I mean, but still, there's a lot less of it here. There is nothing really to it of like, why me or so forth, other than you were there.
I know, I was like, so is that the Ultraman guy? Is that who that's going to be? Okay, I guess it is. All right. The voiceovering, not voiceover, yeah, the narrator, I should say. He cracked me up because I feel like you could just edit all of those lines together with just screenshots of the episodes and get everything in like less than 30 minutes. Am I wrong?
T.
Okay, so, you know, I knew that it was an Australian Ultraman, and I was expecting, just like Amanda, an Ultraman show, but... and I feel like they started off okay. Not great, but okay. I was in for it, and then I feel like they lost the plot. Like, you can't have Ultraman vague talking to people and just not, like, really dive into the characters like that. Like, it was weird. I know that it was only 13 episodes, but, like, in those 13 episodes, I thought we would get, like, at least, like, semi-decent characterization of everybody. I mean, I ended up really liking the captain dude because he just cracked me up with his fervor. And I laughed every time they mentioned Earth's polluted atmosphere. But, like, I couldn't help but to be disappointed. The creature design was almost there, but there was something off about every last one of them. The Ultra fights were meh at best. I had like medium expectations for this show and just came out with the bar on the floor. It took my worst Ultraman and made him not my worst Ultraman. Actually, I think he's pretty all right now. He's good.
Of course, we're talking about Tiga. We have a jaded history with Tiga, but that's for another time, maybe. And yeah, I mean, I'd seen like an episode of this show at some point in time, but like so fucking long ago, I remembered nothing of it, right? So I didn't really know what to expect other than it's a shorter series. It takes place in Australia, and I didn't like the video game. So this was, I mean, thank God it's only 13 episodes. Because this was a slog. Things just kind of, every episode, there's like three or four at minimum times where something just happens without any fucking reasoning behind why, how, and then it's like there's no follow-up to it. There's things that just occur and you're like, wait, no, don't walk away from that. Oh, that's the end of the episode. What? And it's really frustrating. Like, it feels like they're trying to do too much in each episode as opposed to just slowing down and like focusing on something, and there's just too much of everything else going on simultaneously because they have to have like that. Those are my thoughts, so we're gonna dive into this and just get through all this, because obviously since it's a TV show, we're not doing an episode by episode synopsis or anything, and we're not gonna go episode by episode at all on this anyhow. So
right. I mean, like, they, when you kind of hit the nail on the head there, right? Like, when you said there was just so much that they were doing, and then they just, it just goes to something else. Like, the whole fucking plant people thing. Like, this show has horrible implications.
Among like, other things, yeah.
You have, like, living gods that's just sleeping in the woods and shit until somebody comes and disturbs their peace. You have, like, giant creatures that are actually native to the Earth, but they don't pop out unless some space virus is coming at them. It's like, what the fuck? You have, like, mad scientists and alien cultists, and it's just a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot that happens. And again, like, you know, it's fine if there's a lot that happens over the series of, you know, or the length of a series or whatever, you know. And again, mm-hmm. we're used to, you know, especially me and TR, because we've watched all 50 episodes of multiple series already. You know, we're used to like, okay, there's a lot of, you get some weird episodes, but not everyone is a weird episode. But this is, everyone is a, what the fuck did I just watch episode to some degree. And Tiara, when you said they kind of lose the plot, yeah, it's exactly when they resolve the Gudis arc halfway yes. through the fucking series. And now we're just left with all this random occurrences stuff that just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, like they could have left the Gudis plot until the end, because at the last couple episodes they did this weird apocalypse shit with people living in storage crates and stuff.
Yeah, what the hell was that? And I thought I had missed something. I was like, did I skip an episode or something happened? They just were.
Oh, but let me tell you.
To assume in that two-parter that a kaiju was attacking the atmosphere and the world was ending and people were freaking the fuck out. Now, if they had ramped Gudis up to doing that, like the thing with the fucking crazy-eyed captain coming in, like if they would have saved that shit to the very end and have Gudis be the one ending the world, that would have made sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, they had something going up, like, you know, we set up within the first two episodes, here's our premise. You know, he fought the Gudis at the beginning of the first episode and everything on Mars and seemingly defeated it, but of course, it's virus, the virus form of it went out into stars, went to Earth because it's the closest place, and it sets up shop here. Okay, cool. We have our premise. They're chasing Gudis for a while. And again, if this is a longer series, it would have been okay to, like, resolve this halfway through, because we would have had more than six episodes to build up on this and make it more than it actually was, which was just a monster of the day. It's I don't know if either of you are going to get this, but it's like the first season or so of Smallville. Because like every episode, at least in the first season of Smallville, there's Clark's discovering something new about his powers. And while simultaneously, there's kryptonite fragments as a result of the meteor shower that brought him to Earth that he was part of in the first place, you know, it infects a water reservoir and it gives some kid fucking powers or whatever. And there's always this like, it's a monster of the week scenario, but it's all with this one common thread between it, you know?
Yeah, no, I watched Smallville. I get you.
Yeah, but like this was the first half that was like a bad version of it because there wasn't any escalation of threat or what was really going on until the episode 6 where it's just Angudis is back and now he's dead. Bah, bah, bah.
Yep, and you can figure all that out just by reading the titles. Like, oh, who's back? Oh, he's back. Okay, cool.
Right.
Where was he this whole time? What was he doing? No one knows. He was just sitting back looking at them just run around like morons most of the time, I think.
Well, but and also, I mean, the goodest thing is that it wasn't... When it was defeated on Mars at the very beginning of the series, it's then in a viral form. So it's viruses or whatever you want to call it or not, whatnot. And it's not strong enough or doesn't have enough whatever to reconstitute a physical form. It's like Sauron in Lord of the Rings of like, there's a presence, there's a malice, there's a will, but there's not a physical entity as of yet again. And that's episodes, well, you know, the rest of episode 1 through 5.5 or whatever, right? So, which again, yep. Interesting premise, an interesting idea that you could do stuff with of, yeah, it's this will, it's this force that's influencing all these things and making, you know, but you'd have to also simultaneously show that it's making moves behind the scenes. Because, like, we have, what's the fucking name of the guy who was with Jack on Mars?
Was he a Mark?
Didn't make notes.
Right.
Clearly.
But he was, you know, he's the one who comes back as the human agent for the Goodis. But we only see him, like, briefly a couple times.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
Like, have him doing more stuff behind the scenes in each episode so it's building towards something. And, like, ah, there's an underlying plot that they aren't aware of because they keep going on these wild kaiju chases or whatever, right? Have something with that other than just, you know, in episode 4, oh, no, Gudicel's just happened to infect the Daruga, this or whatever. I can't remember the creature's name, but the fucking tornado Tasmanian devil monster thing. It's like... Degunja, sorry.
Degunja, yeah. Yeah, I'm like, they should have definitely kept the Gudis storyline going, kept the other shadow guy going for a while. If you want to introduce him, like, if you want to have him come into the base episode 5, have episode 5 through 10 be him, like, doing really sneak shit without anybody really, really knowing what's up. Make him seem like Shindo is crazy, but, like, do it over a long period of time, and then at the end, have him say, haha, fuck you, Gudis is about to eat the world, and then resolve the conflict.
Yeah.
Like, you could have got so much characterization out of everybody else as you did that, because we got little bits and pieces here, right, with Charlie being, you know, funny and, like, you know, very sly with his way of sticking with the captain and stuff like that when other people try to come over. And, you know, you get, like, Kim being, like, you know, really, really smart and figuring shit out and whatever. But, like, I think that would have, like, really let you see, like, some flaws in the characters. Funny tics that we usually get in Ultraman characters. Like, usually, you know, everybody has, like, if you look at, like, a Ultraman, like, Mabeus or something like that, like, people have their issues or whatever, and they work through them as a team and get stronger as a team, and then, you know, trust Ultraman as a team.
Yeah, or, you know, even if you were still going to only have the Gudis thing be half of the show or whatever, like, episode 3, he shows up partway through or at the beginning, and he's like, hey, I'm alive too, I'm going to join. And maybe we don't know, because we haven't seen directly that he's the one who's been doing stuff like, you know, snapping the one dude's neck at the fucking plant or whatever that brings the Gigasaurus to and whatnot. But, like, there are obviously things that you could do. And, yeah, like you're saying, explore more with, like, character dynamics and each of them trying to gain the trust and favor of the rest of the crew and seeing how that all that interpersonal dynamics can work and everything and so forth. And we've seen that stuff before. We've seen stuff like that before in Ultra series where, like, the Ultraman knows that this person's an infiltrator or something, but, like, looks crazy when they're just throwing out accusations at a person. You know, like when fucking Dan goes and, like, punches the child or whatever, right? And it's like, yeah, it happens.
Exactly,
and,
yes.
And it's stuff we've seen before, so it's like, ah, familiar territory. Just decent enough screenwriting stuff and whatnot. But yeah, it's all just kind of... It really feels like there wasn't enough of a, like, here's what we're gonna plan from beginning to end. Like, it really feels like they just kind of rushed all this. I mean, I don't know. It's frustrating because despite, like, the lower quality and budget and everything, and, like, this, all the monster suits that look slightly off or whatever, and it being a 13-episode series, there was still potential for it to be at least decent, you know, on par with some of the other ones. But it's a garbled mess of things just fucking happening for no reason, like with the fucking Majaba episode. That's the giant bug praying mantis looking one for you, Amanda. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this thing, and it's this swarm of giant creature, you know, locust or whatever, grasshopper insect creatures that happen because this dude spraying, like, insane chemical pesticide. There's no explanation as to why this thing grows to the size it does or whatever.
Like, the whole B plot of that one is, like, there's some crazy hillbilly shooting at our goddamn
well, Oh, and they kind of that poor one guy.
They made, like, one guy
mute, kind of, but not.
No, he was just he's just very mentally challenged and everything.
Yeah, and then they completely disrespect him at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. It's fucked up, and I know I shouldn't be laughing, but was kind of hilarious.
It is, because I want to talk about that character in that episode for a moment. That
kind of made me cringe just a little bit, just on a different level.
The dude's clearly mentally challenged and has an abusive father, guardian, whatever. Mm-hmm. And but then at one point he gives this guy a gun. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, whatever, dude. And then, like, this dude falls into when he's, like, hacking away at the fuck.
They give him a gun.
And he's hacking at him the wrong end of it, by the way. It's backwards, so he's hitting him with the blunt end of it.
Yeah.
At least a couple times. And then he takes this bath. A fucking bath in a swimming pool amount of fucking pesticide. And they just walk out like he's okay, and Jack's got the same shit on him. But
fucking hug each other covered in pesticide.
As a professional, they are all dead, except for Jack, because he's got ultra bullshit protecting him. But they are all dead. Super fucking dead.
Oh, man.
And then, they give him a little party at the Yuma base or whatever, and they just make a fucking fat joke at the end. Like, wow, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was a little end episode on a fat joke.
Thanks, guys.
Many of these episodes just end, and you're like,
yep.
Every episode's timed and paced wrong, so it's like the denouement is like 20 seconds, if even. And
if now we're even.
It's so fucked because, like, you get a lot of murder and just heinous shit going on in these episodes, but that's, like, overshadowed by bullshit. Right? So, like, it could have been, like, really interesting. Like, holy shit, there's this dude, like, fucking snapping people's necks and shit. And Ultraman is, like, Shindo is threatening to kill these people who can only live in this biodome who get killed anyway. But we're not going to explore any of those themes. And that's even a thing that Ultraman has done. There's been some Ultraman with dark-ass themes in there. They've explored those. But this is just, like, all camp with no soul.
It's tone deaf a lot of times because there is this weird whiplash, like you're saying, between this, like, oh, wow, that person's just straight up fucking dead. And then, like, 10 seconds later, everybody's laughing about something unrelated. And it's like,
yeah, like, people were literally getting shot to death in their base.
Yeah.
The villain was doing it with a smile too. It cracked me the fuck up because it was so absurd and no mention of them. There's no weight to it. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, again, things just happen without rhyme or reason or consequence a lot of the times to it. I mean, like, in the fucking two-part finale, like, it takes more time for the captain to fucking tell Charles he's going up in space than it does for him to get there or even get back.
Mm-hmm. Well, just even that episode, these characters were so weird. just talking about that one captain where he's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. Then he does it, shoots the missile or whatever. And then they come back. They're like, what the captain did was wrong. Oh, yep, you were wrong. Like, and kind of that was it. Like, I don't know. Just the dialogue was weird. The characters were weird.
The line delivery was so weird.
But let's talk about Captain Arthur Grant for a moment, because he's the only character I even remotely enjoy, because he's so, like, fed up with everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I do like his dry and sometimes very, like, sharp tongue with just, like, shutting someone down or talking shit to Charles or whatever. Like, I do enjoy that stuff. But, like, he lost me a lot in the last two episodes with his obsession with that fucking silver plate and just him going...
Oh, yeah, the silver plate, too.
Like, they're fucking, you know, fucking Stanley Haggard, that's the general, Tyr and Amanda, the guy whose eyes never blink and he's out of fucking control at all times.
His face bothered me so much.
He never stops. His eyes are like at 120% open all the time. It's incredible and insane. But, you know, like, that's even him and other people are like, maybe, you know, that hit to the head when the dude fucking stole that plate from you, it's clearly fucked with your head. And it's like, yeah, it has, because he's just spouting all kinds of nonsense. And it's like, you are a fucking soldier. Like, I get it. I understand. Like, you know, I feel like...
It was such a divergence from who he was at the beginning of the show.
There's that, definitely. But
without any, like, real development in it. Like, even after Ultraman comes, he's still very, towards the end of the series, precarious about, like, oh, you know, that giant creature isn't bad. Well, we don't fucking know that, and so we know that. You know, like... It seems like a very strange departure from his character to put it all on, like, yeah, it's just this plate. And what the fuck was that plate? All it did was bounce back monster energy. Is that what it was made for? Or did it just happen
to work? And it does it once?
Yeah, and then is destroyed. So how the fuck do you defeat three monsters? And I'm very disappointed that they were like, the Earth is a kaiju, and didn't make the Earth a kaiju, if you know what I mean.
You want like a Transformers Prime Unicron scenario where he is the Earth?
Yeah, no, because you know how he was like, oh, the Earth is the monster and it's fighting us back. I would like to see, you know, like in Ashura's Wrath, the big...
Vlitra?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yep. I mean, I don't know about that. But
if you're going to tell me that the Earth is a monster, I need to see it.
I mean, I don't think he was saying it was a monster. He was saying it's alive. Because he talked about two monsters and then just the one who sleeps below and all that shit. The problem,
yeah, but
though...
No, he, like, literally said that the Earth was fighting them. Like,
yes,
I want to
fighting
see
them. That doesn't mean the Earth is a monster. I do.
They should have made it one.
Well, maybe.
Look,
but...
they were going balls to the wall anyway.
Well, okay, yes, but... Like, it's two things with, especially Arthur Grant's change here in the last two episodes. They threw away character in order to just have him be what the narrative, what the message they were trying to go for about environmentalism, because that's throughout this series a bit. Yeah, I know, right? But, like, you know, it's, you know, they made him his character. They didn't stick to his character for it. They instead changed it as they wanted the metaphor and everything and the message to be, because he has to be going against the other military people who are about just, you know, doing the, you know, oh, just what the world needs, another big gun, right? But
yes,
the thing is that what this does is, this is a perfect example of the bigger issue with this series as a whole that I'm kind of, it's starting to percolate into my head and, like, materialize as to what the biggest issue with this series is. This series, both in length and pacing and plot, takes all these shortcuts because they are assuming that you, the viewer, have done the legwork and are familiar enough with the franchise so that you are just going to fill in the blanks for them, as opposed to them actually taking the extra effort and, you know, writing a plot that has things happen and flow in a certain way that it has to. Again, i.e. Charles going off into space, and then they're like, come back, your mission's there's over. And then the next scene, he's on Earth flying a fucking Hummer.
Goddamn hummus. But, like, was, like, Ultraman that big in Australia?
No, it didn't. It never aired in Australia, by the way.
Yeah, so how the fuck will we do, like...
Wow.
Because it aired in America, like, and Japan.
But it didn't air in Australia.
Later, by the way. years later, by the way. It didn't air in Japan until like 95, I believe.
Hell no, fuck that. They're not getting the "we assumed you did the legwork" thing. They were being lazy.
Oh no, I agree. I think that I'm not giving it to them either. I'm just saying that's what the writers and like the creative team were doing, because they felt constrained by certain whatevers, whether it was the tropes of the franchise or that
vision.
I absolutely agree.
They definitely just got a property and like they just didn't know what the fuck to do with it.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think it was a matter of just But I think it is partly because, you know, they didn't just do it in a vacuum. I mean, they had people from Tsuburaya there, like, overseeing stuff to a certain degree and whatnot. So I think it was just, like, there was a... This is just a guess. This is just me speculating entirely here. I have nothing to back this up whatsoever. It feels like to me that because of presence of people who work in the studio that actually makes the show proper and whatnot... And whether it was a translation issue or in terms of like discussing it behind the scenes or whatever, writers' rooms or whatever, I don't know exactly. But I feel like a combination of that and like there's expectations that probably the Super Eye people brought into here of like, you have to hit these kinds of things or whatnot. There was they just kind of went, all right, I mean, I don't really know how to do that, but all right, I'll, you know, kind of copy and paste some stuff here. And whoever's watching it will probably have watched other Ultraman in the past. So hopefully they'll be able to fill in the blanks here. It's lazy, absolutely, and I'm not giving them the pass on that whatsoever, but I feel like there's a feel in the entire series and show of that throughout from beginning to end.
Okay, I see you. I feel you on that. You know what else I have a problem with?
Children being taken by kaiju off to who knows where.
Nah, fuck that kid. The goddamn opening.
why is it negative?
So full disclosure, when we first started watching this, I was like, you have the DVDs, right? And he was like, yeah. So we pop in the DVD and we started watching it, but we didn't realize that it was a compilation movie. So we sat there for 40 minutes watching this bullshit. And I was ultra concerned, right? So
it was like, I'll tell you, I was going to say, as disjointed and perplexing and random as the episode to episode is, there's one way to make it worse and more confusing for you, which is watching the compilation. Amanda, on the playlist from on the YouTube where we watch this from, those last two are said compilation movies because there's 15 videos in it and there's only 13 episodes. Those last two are the DVDs that I have that I didn't know were just compilation movies. So like it's taking like beats from all the episodes, mostly sequentially, but somewhat out of order in certain cases. Like the fucking kid with the fucking lizard and all that shit is going on during episode.
Oh god, I forgot about that one. Oh my god, the kid with the lizard thing. What?
Yeah, and they take that stuff and like a lot of the like sidebar conversations and stuff is cut out. So like at one point Ultraman's fighting one monster and at another point he's fighting this kid's monster and we're like, what the fuck is going on? Where did this kid come from? But like all of that to say, like when I first saw the opening, I was like, did they really do that? So then we were like, oh shit, we were watching the wrong thing. So we stopped and we went to the YouTube and started watching the individual episodes, which made everything a lot better because we got like missing dialogue and stuff.
Hold on. A lot better.
I mean, as far as like the confusion factor for me, sure. Of what was
there
going
was
on
there was
scene to scene
a comprehension.
Right, there was some background information that I needed, but like seeing that as the opening to each and every episode, I was like, wow, so they really chose violence.
Oh god, it is. Why? I don't know why they chose that. Why do you have the entire opening be basically shot in negative, except for the Ultraman stuff, which just still has that grainy, like, weird filtering behind it and whatnot, but it's correct colors, at least. But I don't know. It's terrible.
It's an eyesore.
It hurts. It physically hurts to look at times. A lot of this series, actually, hurts to look at times.
Like Shindo's like face when he's transforming into
I said it looks like every time he transforms into Ultraman he's just peeing his pants. Just let me go, like you're in a pool, right? And just
it's so weird,
the moment of like weird euphoric focus. It just, it looks like he's wetting his trousers every time. And it's so stupid.
I will say, though, my favorite transformation is at the end. When he jumps into the fucking wharf.
What the fuck?
Just to transform out of sight. It was like, what the fuck? Like, they're all, like, on these shipping containers and shit. It's the apocalypse. Everybody's running around. And he just runs and dives. To the water and comes out as Ultraman. Oh my god.
Not only is that really fucking stupid and should be obvious to everybody about what the fuck he's doing, but you know, he's defeated in that in the end of that episode. It's the first time he is in the second to last episode. Next time we see him, he's hitting the surf and washing up on the beach or washing up on the beach while fucking talking to himself out loud and like getting water in his mouth every time, which I found hilarious. But there's another level to that. I'm like, well, that's just not accurate and consistent with the franchise. If an Ultra is defeated, they revert back to human form at the place where their Ultra form was defeated, not where they fucking transformed. So he shouldn't have been in the water in the first place. He should have been at that fucking construction site. His face in the dirt where it belongs.
Very true. Oh, gosh. One of the weirdest kind of maybe more entertaining episodes is the one with the guy that eats all the food all the time anyway and the girl with the food truck.
Yeah.
That whole thing was bizarre, all of it. But I kind of enjoyed that episode, not gonna lie.
The alien running the burger joint.
Hamburger heaven.
Oh my god.
And then the dude eats like all those burgers and she obviously has what the alien husband and can't even still remember what those aliens were there for, like saying that
they were just that
the humans are gonna destroy the earth.
Well, yeah, Ryugalo goes on that bender eventually, mm-hmm. but they literally came to just it's like backpacking through fucking Europe or some shit.
Yeah, yep. Like they came there to see something.
Yeah, and they're just on a trip.
And it's dumb because like she's liking it and the one guy is like, but the humans, man, they're awful. They'd be fighting each other all the time and starting wars and polluting their land. And I'm like, damn, but he's not wrong though.
No, he's not. Mm-hmm. And I mean, every episode told us he's not wrong because of Earth's polluted atmosphere. Ultraman can only retain his giant form for 3 minutes. He's running out.
Every single time in that buzzer, I was like, no.
It's definitely the most annoying sounding buzzer, too.
Right. And it's the worst color timer.
And I'll tell you, every Ultraman sequence, I was mostly focusing on the color timer on his chest to see if there's a scene where it falls off. It doesn't, but I was waiting for that to happen at some point.
It wasn't even barely bedazzled on.
I know, right? It was like with a fucking bobby pin. God.
Yeah.
Also, this Ultra, he sucks. Like, I didn't expect the fight choreography to be great, but it was particularly bad. He doesn't even do the traditional T pose, the cross pose or whatever. And furthermore, I will say this though. I did like the moments where Jack's talking to him and just like, Ultraman has little to no real answers towards anything, and he'll just respond like a or you know, at the end of the, or at the beginning of the last episode, he's just like, "Well, I'm open to suggestions."
And then he and that one gal just like flirt the entire time, and I'm just like, "God, will you guys just make out already?"
I mean, I don't think he's as into her as he was into Ultraman. He let her drop in a pit of Gudis goo.
That's true.
Right.
This Ultraman saved nobody. So other Ultras, right? We see if their friends are about to drop in a pit. He puts his hand out. He catches them before they go in and swatches, you know, all over the place. This motherfucker is like, nah, I'm gonna let this happen.
Well, to be fair, there was an earlier episode where he catches Lloyd, one of the Hamas, when he transforms and everything. So, okay, at least that. But, you know, yeah, he's not. He sucks. Again, Ultraman, definitely not great.
Nope. He was kind of boring and flat.
Yeah.
He wasn't like charming or he's always usually kind of charming.
But his character had like his actor, like he had the weirdest line delivery.
Well, I mean, nobody here is a thespian to be fair, but go on.
Like every time he said something, like his level would be inappropriate for what he was saying. Like he would be like overly hyped about saying, no, we can't do that. Something that was just kind of blasé and then like under things to like, oh my God, she dropped in a pit. She'll be fine. But just She'll be okay. They're going to go send some people to kill her. We got to stop them. Oh, okay. Hey, somebody's like trying to take a Hummer. Oh my God. Like, he was weird. His line delivery was like all over the fucking place. So I never, like, I always felt like he almost didn't want to be there. If that makes any sense. I don't know. I just.
It's a problem.
Also, I will say one thing. It's a nitpick. Charlie bothered me because he wore glasses to do everything but fly.
Does that make him super nearsighted?
That's what I was trying to figure out. Because I was like, so does he need them or not? Like, what does he need them for? I don't know why I was so focused on that. But yeah, it was a thing that I noticed. So I was curious about it. And I was upset that we never got an answer where they make fun of his vision or something.
Maybe it's just a really, really weird con and a fashion choice.
Or the helmet was just too tight. And they're like, well, better to protect your noggin. Just remove the glasses.
Yeah, something. Who knows? I don't know. I'll tell you this much, though. A little bit of I feel like we're running out of steam here pretty quick, and not surprised by that in the slightest. There was a planned second season for this.
So glad it never got off the ground.
Oh, dear. What happened?
It didn't get off the ground, clearly. As revealed by Sho Aikawa, there was a plan to make a season 2. Most of the information is unknown, but it would have continued after the finale, with Ultraman returning to Earth protected from more monsters and aliens. The famous alien Baltan was set to appear in a set of what was going to be a 3-episode storyline, as well as some other popular Ultraman monsters as well. Veronica and Ryugalo, the burger tourists, they were set to come back, probably for the Baltan invasion. And there was consideration that some of the classic Showa-era Ultra Brothers were going to make appearances as well. And it would have been another 14-episode series.
Already sounds better.
The suits would have definitely have been better if they would have got the original monster suits. That's the other thing that I want to talk about before we kill this show.
Oh, yeah, we have to talk about the monsters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do. We absolutely do. Because every single monster was disappointing in its style, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they would have the start of something great, and then you would see it move, and then you'd be like, oh, no. Oh, no. Like,
yeah, they didn't fight very well. That was kind of disappointing. And it felt like a lot of them looked really incompleted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely...
They weren't polished at all, I don't think.
Exactly. It feels like, you know, like everything else is a bit rushed, and, man, it was... I'll tell you this, because like I said, I had 3 of the toys. I had Ultraman, I had Garugadon, which is the one with the fucking kid and the gecko, and Majamba, which was the insect one. So I had those 3. I always wanted Killazi, which was flying one of the last one, what did they call it, Shigala or whatever. Mm. I always wanted that one because I thought it looked cool, but never had it. There's always something off about all of them. It's just not great.
I can't remember what episode this one was in, but it was the one where there was a monster that was, the bottom part was gray. I think he was on all fours, and the top was kind of like a red shell, and he disappeared into the red cloud.
Barangas.
Like, he felt just like that stark coloring, it felt incomplete. I think the coloring was like really bad on most of them too, but that where it was just like a flat gray and then kind of like a boring red, to where there could have been some shading or something else done. But then I realized that a lot of the other monsters were kind of like that, too.
Yeah, most of them, they'll have, like, 1, maybe 2 real colors to them, and then, like, maybe the eyes are different. There were a couple of them that have some extra flair, like Majaba or the fucking Anteater Forest one. But, like, most of them, for the most part, are, like, 1, maybe 2 colors and whatnot. Like, Gigasaurus, the second episode of the monster, is just this, like, whitish-gray color. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And, yeah, they're all, like, again, incomplete. Complete, not really detailed. There's no flair to most of them. And like some of them, like you look at it conceptually, like the toys looked better. The toys of Majaba and Garugadon look better than the actual suits in the show. By like a lot, actually. Especially Garugadon. That thing looked fucking terrible in the show. And I was excited because I'm like, hey, it's one of my toys. Oh no.
It was interesting when the kaiju that Dan had toys of showed up, because I got to watch the joy just leak out of his face.
You need to start recording these things. That's what your TikTok is for.
To be fair, but when we got to Majaba, most of the joy, there wasn't much joy left to be had there in the first place. So I was expecting it to not be good anyhow at that point in time, because I already, we'd gone through like 8 episodes already, so I knew where we were at, so.
But like, from that perspective, like, I understood what he was seeing every time he watched a movie that, like, I hated for the podcast.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit. I don't think it's as severe by any stretch, no. But yes, you...
It was a little taste.
A sous-sens, if you will. It's, a lot of it was just disappointing. Again, Ultraman himself was fucking kind of trash. Like, uncoordinated, not really interesting. There was not, the fights weren't dynamic, and that makes the suits even worse. And again, like, you can have ones that are a singular color and still have it work well. Look at Gomera, for example. You know, one of the most famous ones. Or Red King looks pretty, you know, standard or whatever. But, like, they have personality, they have menace, there's good action going on with them. So, like, you can do it even with something that's a little bit of a simpler design. But, like, these are all just boring because and the action's boring. So it's just a big old meh.
So I wonder if it was harder to move in those suits or if it really even made a difference. Like, it's supposed to be easier, but obviously there was just not any action at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it was hard to move in them, but I think ultimately that just boils down to, like, they had nobody there to, like, really do good choreography for it. No one to make choreography, and people who weren't experienced enough in, like, suit acting to make it work and make it happen. I feel like it just ultimately was just they didn't have people.
The know-how.
Yeah, they just didn't have the right knowledge to do it. Like, the tool, even with a reduced budget and a reduced shoot time of 4 months, the tools are still technically there, but they just didn't have the know-how to pull it off properly.
I will say one more thing. I was mad that he didn't have, like, a signature move.
I know. Yeah. It was weird.
And I got mad that he pulled out a sword once and then didn't pull it out again until the very end. I was like, you motherfucker, start with that.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's because the first batch of episodes, he's doing this thing where he's like, it looks like he's doing a Hadouken, but like a really shitty, weak ass beam comes out and it takes like 3-4 hits to fell an enemy. And then, like, yeah, by the later episodes, like, he's just doing fucking finger bang. He's just doing finger guns and shooting
pew, pew.
With them.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, and it just looks weak sauce is all get the fuck out.
Yeah, and then, like, every time he develops a new power, it doesn't really work for him. Like, when he, like, towards the end of the two episodes, like, he has this whole new, like, what was it? Like, a dark cloud, like, an orange cloud thing? A storm? I don't know. And he, like, shot it at the monster, and the monster shot it back, and they're playing ping pong, and then he gets defeated by his own shit.
Yeah, that was weak as hell. And then, yeah, the, like, to defeat Killer Z, or, you know, whatever the fuck it's called in the actual show, he just pulls out double swords and just cuts it, basically, its head off and fucks it up in, like, 2 seconds. Again, it just happens without any rhyme or reason as to why he suddenly had that ability. He just has it.
Who knows? Who really cared at any point?
Yeah. Did we at least like the hummus?
They look weak.
Yeah.
And they're never useful. They never do anything useful either.
Nope.
I miss cool looking uniforms.
Yeah, these are just standard, like, military jumpsuits. Like, you're like, well,
like that, and then just, or t-shirts and pants when they're not doing anything. Yeah, it was all just kind of bland, I guess, when it comes to any of that, the storylines. And I felt like this is when it got to the point where I was like, partway through, I was like, yeah, this is almost like Power Ranger level, where it's like kind of the same basic formula. But then this episode might focus on this person a little bit. This person might be focused on in a couple episodes later. But then it all just came down to chaos is happening. Monster here. Kill monster. We're trying to do stuff. We can't do it. Superhero comes in for like 4 seconds and then he's gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
They also had, like, the least personal relationship with their Ultra.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the other teams and stuff, like, have moments of, like, understanding or, like, you know. I know they have those in here, but it doesn't feel as, like...
I don't feel like they have those in here at all.
Yeah.
All the other ones usually consider, like, by at least midway or partway through the series, the Ultraman... whether they know yet or not that a person on the team is also Ultraman, they still consider Ultraman separately as, like, the other member of the team, you know, and whatnot, but that never happens here. And it's just kind of,
You're like, oh, well, there he is again. Huh.
Right.
Yeah, there isn't that much, as much camaraderie as the other Ultramans that I've seen.
No, there really isn't at all. There's like almost no camaraderie except for Jack hitting on Jean and fucking Charles being a goofball.
Oh, Charles.
Well, all right, let's
and the,
wrap.
And the other two we haven't even really talked about because...
There's nothing really to say about them is the thing.
Because there really wasn't that much.
No, there really isn't. So let's not talk about them. Instead, let's wrap this one up instead. Ultraman Towards the Future from 1990. Buy it, rent it, skip it. Let's go around, T.
Skip it. Like, just don't ever watch it. Ever. Make sure, like, you just pretend it doesn't exist.
Amanda.
Yeah, I'd say go ahead and skip this unless you're a completionist. It's only 13 episodes and you can maybe make some good jokes about how terrible the acting is, but yeah, skip it for me.
And yeah, skip it here. It's just, it's dull, it's boring, it's monotonous, and it's disjointed as all hell. So there's no, maybe if you're a completionist. And I mean, the real thing is, if you're a completionist, we'll see if Mill Creek Entertainment eventually releases this on Blu-ray or DVD. We'll see in the future. But until then, I'm definitely going to say skip it. Maybe even if you're a completionist. But... at least it's over, right? Then we're moving on to better things in the future here. Speaking of, hey, Amanda.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Eric is here.
Yeah, I just sent it to our guest Jess the other day, and I completely forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
Doop-a-doop-a-doo. Where is it? Howl from Beyond the Fog.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yep, Howl from Beyond the Fog, the movie made last year, came out last year by director Daisuke Sato. I am very excited for this because, one, a little sneak preview, it's all puppets. The people are puppets. So that's,
oh, Lord.
It's going to be very interesting. It looks really cool. We got to see like 15 minutes without dialogue filmed in at G-Fest a couple years ago. The director was there. The suit maker was there. Keizo Murase, famous suit actor or suit maker who did most of the suits from most Showa era stuff across a lot of things. So I'm really excited for that. And yeah, we got, as you said, Jess Candelori will be back on for that. So I'm looking for that. We'll also have Eric will finally be back on the show. He's been out a couple episodes because he's dealing with moving halfway across the country. So understandable that he's not here. But looking forward to this one. And luckily for you, Amanda, and for Jess, it's available to watch on Amazon Prime.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask next, if you knew.
Yeah.
So I was going to look it up after this, but that makes that easy.
Yep. So everybody else can watch in anticipation as well. I'm looking forward to that. But that'll have to wait until next time. So until then, when we're covering Howl from Beyond the Fog for the Leftover Army Monsters, I'm Dan Heppner.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Tiara.
We'll see y'all next time.
Later, kids.
Bye.
Bye.
We miss you, Eric. Come back.